We have lots to talk about in our Week in Review this week, concentrating mainly on the political turmoil over the state budget. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, March the 4th. First, we need to review our pledge drive progress on this last day of the winter membership drive. And joining me with more on that and some help during this hour is my producer, Rob Ferret. Hello again, Rob.
Hello, Joy. This is the last hour of the Joy Cardine Show during this pledge drive, your last chance to pledge during the Joy Cardine Show. And, of course, it's the week in review. We're looking for 70 pledges this hour, and we can make that goal, that very important goal, with your help, with your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make that pledge because you understand that Wisconsin Public Radio depends on listener support to pay the bills and to bring you the programs that you value. And it's evident that you value talk about news during this membership drive. Lots of news swirling around the state, and this battle over the state budget has touched many. And you look to Wisconsin Public Radio to get the latest information and discussion from a variety of viewpoints. And we'll be doing that again today with two guests from different perspectives during this week in review. Please make a pledge of any amount to support this service at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think of how much Wisconsin Public Radio has kept you informed in the last couple of weeks. All the programs with Joy, Kathleen, Ben Marins, Gene Faraca talked about some of this as well. Keeping you in touch with what's going on around the state, bringing on newsmakers, lawmakers, people representing different interest groups, the great work our news team has done. We don't brag about that enough during pledge drives sometimes, I think. What's that worth to you? Make a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make that pledge anytime throughout the hour. And again, this is the last hour of the Joy Cardine Show in order for you to make your pledge on this last day of our membership drive. If this is a regular part of your day or your week listening to the Week in Review and you haven't made a pledge yet, won't you consider making that pledge now before you get to work or on with the rest of your day? Any amount helps, be it $10 or $10 a month or $1,000. You decide how much to contribute at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you pledge $120 or more to support WPR programs, you can choose a thank you gift that will provide 40 meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. Let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio to those in need in your community. Pledge any amount right now, and when you pledge $120, select food for 40 as your thank you gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I've asked Rob, my producer, to stay with me throughout this hour, throughout the week in review, and to chime in with questions. As you might have heard in my voice, I have a cold, and sometimes I go into a coughing fit, and I just hear that Rob has a little bit of a cold coming on, too.
Yeah, so thanks for that, Joy.
We're quite the pair. We're quite the pair. But we also count on you to call in with your questions or topics that you would like our guests to address during this Week in Review program. Is there a specific item you would like to talk about? 1-800-642-1234 is our call-in number to join us on air. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I noticed a lot of you have already posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, but you can bring up a topic on Facebook as well. Let me welcome both of our guests. Very happy to have them with us. Walter John Shilson is a six-term former Republican state senator from Wausau and a member of the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
And Christine Bremer Moogley is also with us, attorney with the Bremer and Trollop Law Offices in Wausau and a delegate to the Democratic National Convention in 2008. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, let's start with the news of this morning in our news headlines. Thousands of Wisconsin state workers are bracing for the possibility of pink slips today in the continuing battle over legislation, stripping them of many of their collective bargaining rights. Republican Governor Scott Walker and absent Senate Democrats remain in a standoff over what Walker says is a bill needed to balance the budget. The governor says he will issue 1,500 layoff notices today unless at least one of the 14 Senate Democrats returns from Illinois to give the Republican majority in the Senate the quorum it needs to vote. Let me ask you, Walter John Chilson, first. Is this necessary to issue pink slips today if this budget repair bill isn't passed?
I'm not sure of all the ramifications, but the governor has been pointing out for some time that it is necessary. Time is running out, and I think it ends today of when the state government can take any steps to help alleviate the $165 million debt that they have in this fiscal year. I think that one thing we want to make clear is that in this budget review bill, we're talking about the current budget having to be changed, and then, of course, the governor has already presented his budget for the next 2 years. That is an entirely separate issue than the move that took the 14 Democrats to Illinois.
Christine, do you think this is a threat or a necessary promise?
Well, Joe, I think, and good morning, Senator Walter John.
Good morning. Good morning, Christine.
I'm just so saddened by all this, and I really doubt that this is necessary. And when we think about putting the whole burden of the state on these 1,500 public workers, I think it's just not right, and it doesn't reflect a shared sacrifice. And I think if the governor is really having that many problems and he comes down to 1,500 workers today, we're really in a sad place. I mean, I thought this requirement for, this deadline was because he wanted to refinance the debt, and we've learned that that's not going to save us any money. It just puts it down the road. So I don't know why we threaten 1,500 workers like this. I just don't think that's right, and it saddens me.
Yesterday, Senate Republicans voted on a resolution to hold the missing 14 Democratic state senators in contempt and was asking police to bring them back to the Capitol. What's your reaction to that, Christine?
Well, you know, if we talk about this, we're hearing Governor Walker talk about people coming back to work. Absolutely not giving deference to our senators as constitutional officers of our government. And the Constitution of Wisconsin, I think, Senator Walter John, you know this, it absolutely prohibits members of the Senate from being arrested for a non-criminal offense while the Senate is in session. And that is, when we look at the Constitution, look at Article 4, Section 15, you cannot arrest a senator or a member of the Senate while the Senate is in session, and you cannot even find them in contempt for not attending. Unless they're committing a crime like bribery or refusing to testify, you cannot bring them in for contempt under the law. So I think this is amazing. You know, I think it's such a turnaround because actually the Constitution says, and Wisconsin statutes actually say, that it's contemptuous to try to arrest a member of the Senate. So in effect, if we look at this on the legal basis, Senator Fitzgerald is at risk of contempt because he's violating Wisconsin Statutes Chapter 13.26, Section 2, which says you can't do that. So we've got to recognize we've got a constitutional officers being protected. We cannot arrest them, and it's outrageous that they would try.
Yep. Do you think it's outrageous, Walter John?
Well, not at all. Matter of fact, I passed the idea along to them 10 days ago that I thought they ought to be doing something like this, is find them in contempt of the Senate and start fining them and taking away privileges, taking away office staff and putting them in smaller offices, I think, would be a proper thing to do. They're not doing their duty. Christine, that constitutional provision so that a senator cannot be arrested, it means that he could not be arrested and kept from coming to do his work in the Senate in Madison. It's an entirely different reason for having that in the Constitution, is to make sure that he could be present. He can't be kept from being present. But these fellows are doing it all on their own, and I can't understand Fred Risser and Tim Collins, some of the others, Bob Jauch, some of the others I know, distorting the rules, distorting their obligation, and to represent their people in Madison. That's what they were elected for, not to run off to Illinois and obfuscate the legislative process.
Well, you know, with due respect, if I could respond, Joy, mm-hmm. I really believe that there are many people that think that our senators were absolutely doing their duty by making this heroic step and leaving. This is very, very hard for them. A senator in central Wisconsin who's dear to me is Julie Lassa. This woman has little children at home, and she's pregnant, and she is staying away at a great expense and hardship to her because she solely and completely believes that this is the only way that they could shine a light on what the governor was doing in his budget repair bill by taking away the rights of workers. So I believe that they are absolutely doing their duty. There is a history in our country of legislators taking this step, including President Lincoln when he was in Illinois, for leaving when they have to prevent something that they believe is a grave injustice from occurring. So I really honor them.
Well, also
the only reason they're in Illinois is because the union bosses are dictating what they should be doing. It's the union bosses that are prevailing and not the will of the people of Wisconsin.
Well, the will of the people of Wisconsin, though, according to polls, Walter John Shilson is turning, at least some of them that I've seen, turning against Governor Walker's proposal, showing that most people don't think that the public employees should lose their collective bargaining rights.
Well,
that's absolutely right, Joy.
That does confuse me, frankly. I'm disappointed to see that. I think if other polls show that when they understand what the issue really is, the polls indicate that they favor limits on collective bargaining.
I think that people see through this rhetoric when people talk about, and we've heard it so much, about union bosses. This is really an attempt to pit middle class against our public service workers, and I think people see through that, and they're not agreeing to it, and all the polls are turning against them, and Governor Walker's favorability is dropping like a rock.
Last night, a judge ruled that the 50 or so protesters that were still sleeping overnight at the state capitol needed to leave while the building was closed, but ordered the administration to open up the capitol and have relatively unrestricted access to the capitol during working days. And apparently, I think that's going to start on Monday after a security check over the weekend. Have you ever seen anything like this, Christine?
No, absolutely not. And I just want to congratulate Peg Lautenschlager on her great work in court to bring this closure to the courts and to Judge Albert for his reasoned decision that just said that, you cannot say that the demonstrators should be disrespected. They were exercising their constitutional rights of free speech and assembly. And by bringing in this motion for a temporary restraining order to prevent the Capitol Police from doing this, I think it was wonderful. You know, Joy, I was in the Capitol last week. I had some business in the Capitol, and I had to be escorted in. And I have to tell you, for all the hours I have spent in the Capitol, nothing like what you've done, Walter John, but I've spent my time there. And I have never been so frightened as to walk into our wonderful, beautiful Capitol to be surrounded by officers in SWAT clothes and to be escorted in and out. It was frightening and terrifying and sad.
Yeah, Walter John Chilson, you too visited the Capitol this past week, haven't you?
I did. I was down there Wednesday for the 100th anniversary of the Joint Finance Committee, and we had to be escorted into the Capitol through one door, the Martin Luther King entrance only, and I was met by some staff people, and we really had no problem at all in getting in for that event. But I was dismayed to see that the number of police who had to be there to protect the legislators and to protect the public who had to be there for necessary reasons. I think Judge Albert's decision was a very reasoned one. It was accepted by the as a very reasonable decision, and I think it resolves the problem. And the picketers are not going to be there in the mob-like fashion they were there before. You know, a lot of people talk about a democracy in action, and this is democracy in action, and the people are exercising their constitutional rights. But it is not democracy in action. We saw mobocracy. It was a mob down there of up to 100,000 people outside trying to intimidate the legislative process. I think it was entirely unnecessary, and if they were exercising their constitutional rights, I think it was an abuse of those constitutional rights.
Joy, I'd like to respond to that. You know, I really object, Senator Wilson, to using the word mob. These were our neighbors, our friends. These were teachers from the WASP area. These were public service workers from all over the state. These were my friends and neighbors and yours. And these were children and students and old people. This was no mob. This was a group of Wisconsin people exercising their right to speak to Governor Walker and try to prevent him from railroading from provisions that would hurt walkers across the board. I just think that's absolutely wrong. What we saw was the most beautiful exercise of democracy in action. I think it was fabulous, and I really applaud everyone that went out and stood in the cold and the snow and made their voices heard.
There were thousands of people who were not even residents of Wisconsin in those mobs that were outside the Capitol, Christine, and you know that. They came from...
No, I don't know that at all. I know that there were people there from Wisconsin. There were buses leaving from Wausau, from...
That's true.
All over, and they were filled.
So were thousands from outside the state.
Well, the point is that when Governor Walker decided to wage war on workers, it has a national implication. So if our neighbors and friends and workers from across the country want to support us, we welcome them here.
Well, it's the war on workers is going on in Indiana and Ohio and New York and even California. So I think to try to say that this is a war on workers and that Governor Walker is the only one who's conducting the war is just plain ridiculous.
Not saying he's the only one, but he was the first one, and he said in his conversation with the person he thought was with Koch, this is our moment. So he clearly thought this was the beginning of it, and I think that's why people galvanized in Wisconsin.
We need to move on to the state budget address that Governor Walker delivered this week, and we'll talk about some of the particulars in that in just a moment. This is The Week in Review. Our guests today, Christine Bremer-Moogley, an attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau, and Walter John Chilson, a six-term former Republican state senator from Wausau. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Rob Ferret, here to encourage you to make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's right. We have a goal of 70 pledges this hour. Now we need another 55. We're off to a great start. Now you can help us meet that goal with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is the last day of the pledge drive, and this is the last hour of the Joy Cardine Show during the pledge drive. If you listen to Joy every morning and you've been putting off making that pledge this time around, this is it. This is your time. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Please make a pledge now to help us end this winter membership drive on a strong note. Help us reach this goal of 70 pledges during this last hour of the last day for this show anyway. Pledge any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sally from Eau Claire just pledged a few minutes ago, it looks like. She says, I greatly value WPR programming. WPR is my most important source of news. Thanks to Joy Cardine and all of the other excellent hosts and producers, the Week in Review, she says, is a favorite of mine. Thank you, Sally. And you know what, Sally? You're not alone. A lot of people tune in, especially for the Week in Review. They make sure they're here. Hey, how about you? Do you listen to the Week in Review every chance you get every Friday? Make a pledge right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Any amount helps. Any amount is appreciated. Remember, if you pledge $120 or more, you can choose food for 40 as your thank you gift. It provides 40 meals for families in need in areas around Wisconsin. Pledge any amount you can, though, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are talking with Walter John Chilson, who is a former Republican state senator from Wausau, and Christine Bremer Moogley, an attorney in Wausau. She was also a delegate to the Democratic National Convention in 2008. We are talking primarily about the news that happened this week in the state capitol regarding the budget repair bill and Governor Walker's budget address that he delivered on Tuesday. He called on the legislature to approve cuts to schools and local governments to help the state balance a roughly $3.5 billion deficit. The governor would cut a state aid to schools by around $800 million or $1 billion if you count all of the money that goes to schools. Walter John Chilson, this is going to hurt.
There's no question it's going to hurt. A lot of painful things have to be done. And I commend Governor Walker for having the courage to make these kind of cuts because they are absolutely necessary. I think we have to agree that Wisconsin has a $3.6 billion deficit, $3.6 billion with a B. That has to be solved, and so that means you can't do a million here and a million there. There have to be some massive cuts made. And what Governor Walker is trying to do is bring the budget into balance so that he can begin to meet his goal of creating 250,000 jobs in the next 2 years in the state of Wisconsin.
All right, so $1 billion to school to schools, $1 billion less for shared revenue for local government services. See any way around this, Christine?
Well, I really think it's so sad, don't you, Joy, that that we're taking all of this pain out on our schools. I mean, you know, right now I just got word that the economy increased with 192,000 jobs last month and unemployment went down 1 point. So, or point one, so we're down at 8.9%. The economy is improving. You know, what about thinking about some shared sacrifice here? What about going back to progressive tax rates where they were, Walter John, when you were in the Senate? In 1968, if we went back to that, I think in 1 year, by raising some taxes on people that could afford it and not putting it all on the backs of the school children and the middle class, we could raise maybe $600 million and give the economy some time to grow, and maybe we wouldn't have to do this to our schools and devastate them and take our state backwards in this regressive policy. I think this is outrageous, and I think that all of us should stand up and say, there is no way we're not going to protect our schools, and we should fight this budget bill.
Well, tax the rich, Walter John Chilson.
Well, in normal times, tax increases might be a suggestion, a proper suggestion. But in the tough economic times we're in right now, increasing taxes is no way to try to create jobs. We should be reducing taxes if we can, and using lower taxes as a seed, a temptation to have people come into Wisconsin and create jobs here. That's what's really important, to try to create jobs.
Yeah. Let's take.
But businesses aren't going to come into Wisconsin if our education system isn't what it needs to be and if our way of life isn't protected. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think that helps at all. And I think that the rich can afford it. The wealthy people can afford it. The middle class shouldn't be squeezed. And it should be a temporary measure, but it should be done until the economy recovers.
Won't this devastate education in the state, Walter John Chilson?
No, I don't think it will. There are ways that school districts and school boards can use to adopt to these cuts. And I think they already are considering those options. These are, as I say, tough times, and tough decisions have to be made, and they have to be made at the state level and at the local level in the school districts as well. And the university system is going to have to adjust to it, and the vocational system is going to have to adjust to it in a temporary fashion. These are temporary things that are going to be done. They're not permanent things.
Let me get a caller in. Wait a minute, Christine. Sue in Ashland, go ahead.
Okay.
Sue and Ashlyn, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just had a question about the potential layoffs that Governor Walker is threatening, the 1,500. And I'm wondering if anyone has considered or calculated the number of teachers that have already received pink slips? That I don't even, I mean, there are so many, there are districts that have pink slipped everyone because of the decreased funding to public schools. Has that even been considered?
No, I'm not sure. They did put out layoff notices or potential layoff notices to teachers in many districts, but I think that was just in case, Christine?
Yeah, they've put in our area alone, I know that 34 teachers in the Merrill area got pink slips, and I can tell you that most teachers are getting some kind of a notice from their school districts so that the school district's hands aren't tied with regard to the contract. This is just devastating to these people. And, you know, I was a former president of a school district in Wausau, Wisconsin, and I can tell you, we had to close a school during my term, and it was the most horrible thing I've ever gone through. Rural schools will close. I mean, there is no hope that these schools will be able to be maintained. And this pain should not be placed on the schools. This should be a shared sacrifice, and we should not be doing this to our schools.
Walter John?
Well, I don't think there's any option that's realistic at the present time, any other option that can be taken. We aren't going to increase taxes, income taxes, to try to balance the budget. A $3.6 billion deficit, that would be horrendous and make Wisconsin a state you surely would not want to do business in. So these are tough choices. I'm not sure if I was governor that I would be making the same suggestions, but I can certainly understand why Governor Walker has made these decisions. He's trying to balance a budget, and it's got to be done with very tough, very difficult decisions. And a lot of people are going to have to go through the hurt.
Nobody doubts that the decisions are difficult, but when we look at the decisions he's making, which are, you know, taking it all out of the backs of the middle class, you know, looking at recycling and birth control and public transportation and senior care and Medicaid, why is it all the sacrifice on the middle class and nothing for the rest? It's just, it shows his priorities, and I think people of Wisconsin see what he's about now, and that's why his ratings are going down the drain.
Let me bring in another caller, Dawn in Green Bay. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning to your guests. Oh, so many comments as I listen to this. First of all, I do want to say that I'm a private employee, and I completely support my public workers. I support the Democratic senators. Without having them do what they did, we would have been so in the dark. This thing would have been rammed through, and we would not have known what our governor was really like. My question is, what do they think about this stopping the mandate on recycling and taking all the money, the support of the recycling away?
Yeah. So what about the repealing the requirement that communities have recycling programs? Walter John Chilson, is that a good idea?
I wasn't aware that that was in it. It's the first I've heard that or seen it. Haven't seen it in print at all. As I say, they're tough decisions. Why Governor Walker decided to do that, I'm not aware. And
there's not state aid does not go to pay for part of the cost of implementing a recycling program, and that is a part of the proposal anyway. Christine, a reaction
I think that's
to
a cost that will have to fall back at the local level. That's it isn't going to be eliminated.
Yeah, he's repealing the mandate. It doesn't mean that local communities have to stop recycling programs, but it will no longer be required. Christine?
And the local communities won't receive any aid to implement the program. This is a program that was implemented by Governor Thompson in 1995. I don't think he'd be very happy about this. It's just such regressive policy making. It's hard to understand how anyone in 2011 would, in any possible way, think about ending a recycling program. It's just ridiculous. It's hard to even understand what's in his mind.
Yeah, and
if it's all about money, then maybe we should find it somewhere else. This is not good public policy.
You mentioned, Christine, the proposal in the budget that removes the insurance requirement to cover contraceptives. You object to that, too.
Oh, my goodness. You know, that is, when I read that, I had to read it three times because I thought, is this true? Is it possible that we are now talking at this day and age about taking away funding for birth control? I mean, you know, when we look at what's going on with reproductive health in this country, we know that with regard to birth control, it prevents unwanted pregnancies. And it's been said, and the studies are, that for every dollar spent for contraceptive to prevent an unwanted birth control, $4 of taxpayer money are saved. The message to women in this state when we talk about having birth control as a requirement for insurance companies to offer it is just one of a total disregard for their wellness. You know, this bill not only does that, it also takes away funding from the 50 state health centers, the local ones, that provide, you know, things like women wellness screenings, prostate screenings, all kinds of services are provided through these centers across the state. We have one in Wausau. 52,000 women are served, and that is going to be not funded any longer. You know, it's hard to understand what's going on with this, but this is outrageous.
Does that make sense to you to remove a mandate for insurance companies to cover birth control, Walter John Chilson?
Absolutely. I'm recalling going way back in my early legislative history where the sale of contraceptives was hardly illegal, and they wanted to have condoms available in restrooms and things like that. And the advocates of doing that were saying these will prevent pregnancies. And I ask, is that the reason why we've had so so much necessity for an ever-increasing number of abortions?
When we know 95% of the 3 million unintended pregnancies are caused by people not using contraception.
Yeah, Christine, let Walter John finish his comment, and then we'll move on.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think that the use of contraceptives does not prevent unwanted pregnancies. I think you could even make the argument that it increases them.
Yeah, and you disagree, Christine. Yeah, and so let's move on to another issue in the budget bill that is raising some eyebrows. Christine, you are upset with this proposal to pretty much kill public financing for Supreme Court races?
Well, yeah, the Impartial Justice Act is just enacted, and this is the first case, this is the first election we have that it's under, so it's kind of unbelievable that all of a sudden now the Democracy Trust Fund is going to be not longer funded properly through the budget. So what's going to happen, it's going to move it to the checkoff box on our tax returns, which is simply where you mark a box and says you want to give a dollar to the election campaign fund. Well, that fund is really dwindling in its popularity. I think in 2009 there's only $166,000 in it. So what's going to happen now is we're going to go back to the days of 2007 and 2008 when we had these horrific Supreme Court elections in our state that were all kinds of outside money was spent. We had these negative ads, and millions and millions of dollars were spent to defeat an incumbent and select another justice. And it just was a mar on our state. And so this law was put into effect to stop that and say justices no longer have to beg for funds from special interests to run for election. And they're given $100,000 in a contested primary and up to $300,000 in the general election to fund their race. And now those funds are going to be gone. So we go back to the old days. It's another example of regressive policy.
Mm-hmm. Walter John Chilson?
Well, I think that since it's not been implemented, it's not something that can be looked on as that important. But I favor public funding of the Supreme Court races, and when we can afford it, I think it's probably something that the legislature and the governor will go back to.
Let's take a call from Denny in Rock County. Hi, Denny.
Hello, hi. My question is for your guests, is if this is about the budget and it's about that the state is in financial trouble, why are we, one, in the budget repair bill, selling our power plants without going through the bid process, I would think we would want the highest bidder, not just somebody's friend who or highest campaign contributor getting those power plants. And number two, why are we increasing infrastructure, road infrastructure, by $500 million while cutting almost $1 billion out of our educational infrastructure?
Yeah. All right, so we're increasing a highway or transportation spending by a $500 million, Walter John Chilson, while we're cutting schools. Is that right?
No, I disagree with Governor Walker doing that. I think the construction industry in Wisconsin, the highway construction industry in Wisconsin, is much too powerful. I think they have billions of dollars available for developing and improving highways. I favor fixing our highways first rather than constructing new ones. So I disagree with the governor on that, but that's not a reason why the Democrat governors, Democrat senators, should stay down in Illinois.
Christine, what about this the no-bid sale of the five state-owned power plants that's in the repair bill?
Well, you know, I think that's just an example of giveaway to special interests. I mean, the bill was actually amended to say that the legislature actually had a 14-day window to review what the governor wanted to do. He had it written, so he was just going to do it without anybody looking at what he was doing. So I think Jenny has a very good point. What was that all about, and why were we giving away our property without any payment? And in the meantime, we're squeezing the teachers and everyone else. I'd just like to make one comment about transit, Joy. You know, this bill is also going to really decimate public transportation. If we look at the needs of the people of Wisconsin, I think the statistic is 30% of the people in Milwaukee don't have a car and rely on public transportation, and public transportation is going to be gravely cut. They're actually going to put the transit aids into the general fund, so it has to compete with all the other special needs that the state has, and it's going to really decimate public transportation, and it's another example of hurting the poor and the middle class at the expense of special interests. I think it's just a very sad and wrong policy.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to respond to the concern about mass transit, Walter John Chilson?
Well, I disagreed with the governor's decision to turn down those federal funds for the high-speed rail between Milwaukee and Madison, eventually between Madison and Minneapolis. I think it was a darn good idea, and I say I disagree with the governor on that.
Let me take a short a break. We are reviewing the news of the week with Walter John Chilson and Christine Bremer-Moogley. I'm Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Rob Ferret, here to encourage you in the last 12 minutes or so of the program to make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's right, WPR.org. WPR.org is the website. You can go there and make a pledge while you listen, or you can give a call, 888-202-2552. Pledge because you love the programming here on WPR. Joy, I love this comment. This pledge just came in from Susan from Maquanago. She says, WPR provides the ultimate in public radio, hands down. There is no comparison that I have found in any other state's public radio. There is so much work and effort put into each and every show every day, which is what makes the shows outstanding. And kudos, she says, to Joy Cardine for her excellent shows. I couldn't get up so early every morning and even put one coherent thought together, much less for 3 hours.
Well, it's a little harder when I'm on a decongestant for my cold, but thank you so much, Susan. I love what I do, and I love to be able to talk about issues that matter to you, be it state politics and these budget issues that affect all of us, to sometimes lighter topics throughout the week. Please do make a pledge because you listen, because you value the programming, and because you realize this is listener-supported radio. We count on you for, about 30% or so of our operating costs. So make your pledge now of any amount to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledge because you appreciate the lively and opinionated talk here on The Week in Review each and every Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. are you a regular listener? Make a pledge right now to support this kind of programming. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We'll take some more calls and get some more commentary from our two guests during this edition of the Week in Review. Walter John Chilson is a former Republican state senator from Wausau, and Christine Bremer Moogley is a Wausau attorney, a former delegate to the Democratic National Convention. And there are so many different issues with the state budget that I could bring up, and I've decided I'm going to do something a little bit different. Walter John Chilson, out of all the news that's out there this week in particular for the state budget, what is it that we haven't talked about that you think we should talk about?
Well, I don't know. We haven't talked about the recall petitions that are going on.
That's true. There are many recalls going on for Republicans and Democrats. Do you think that that's what democracy looks like, Walter John Chilson?
Well, it does. Democracy gets pretty ugly at times. We're seeing that in the last few weeks in Madison. And the recall petitions were begun by people who were incensed at the Democrats who were obfuscating their responsibility and running away to Illinois, and about three of them, I think, are facing recall. Jim Hopperin is probably the one that is the most likely to have a recall effort succeed. And let me review, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's one part of it I'm unclear on, but they first have to register as a committee to have a recall process going on. And then once that committee is formed, they can begin collecting signatures. They have to collect a certain percentage of the votes that were cast for governor in the last election, and it amounts to with great variety, I think, down in the Milwaukee area. It's for COGS, it would be only 11,817 votes, but for Lasich, the Republican in the New Berlin area, it would be almost 21,000 signatures they'd have to get. Once they get those signatures, that means that a recall election can be held. And then the question is, shall that individual be recalled? That's the first election. If the people say yes, then they have a regular election to see if that person would be reelected or a new person would be reelected. So yeah, it's a long process. And not an easy thing to do. I don't know if it's ever been done in the state of
Virginia. Yeah, the update is that recall efforts have now been launched against 14 state senators, all 8 Republicans and 6 of the Democrats. Recall's a good idea, Christine?
Well, it's pretty sad when we have to put forward recall efforts under these circumstances. I don't think any of us has ever seen that before under such huge numbers of people wanting recall. I thought it was a bit cynical to for the Republicans to start this out by asking for the recall of Senator Hopperin, who represents the district way north where I go and spend most of my time. He is a man who was elected because of his centrist positions, and I think he's a very dedicated guy, and I'm sorry to see it happen. So it's not a good day for Wisconsin about recalls, but if that's the way the people have to go to get heard, I guess that's what's going to happen.
Bob in Verona joins us. Hello, Bob.
Well, this is a timely subject. I'd like to make my pledge today to challenge Walter John to a $250 bet. I'll bet that Scott Walker will be recalled, and if you lose Senator Chilson, you can contribute $250. Now, in addition to that, we're talking about looking for money. You know, someone with the Taxpayers Alliance said there's nothing in the budget having to do with tax reform. Now, if you, one little slice of what money we could get in a 2006 study by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they came up with savings if we would tax these entities that I'm going to mention. Legal services, $113 million. Advertising, $103 million.
We get it, Bob, and because I'm so short on time, I'm going to ask Walter John Chilson if he takes you up on your bet. No, what about extending the sales tax, Walter John Chilson, to services that we're not paying sales tax on?
I don't know. It comes as rather a surprise. I don't think it's the time to be increasing taxes on anything. That's my simple, quick answer.
Do you think that Scott Walker is going to be recalled?
I accept the challenge of the bet.
Oh, you do? All right. So if you lose, you're going to donate $250 to Wisconsin Public Radio. I think that was the bet. Well, what do you think, Christine, in terms of some people are also waiting to mount a recall against Governor Walker, but he has to be in office a year before that happens.
That's right. Yeah. You know, Joy, you gave Walter Joy the chance to talk about two topics he liked. I hope you give me
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Too.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. And what? Yeah, he.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to throw out kudos to our Congressman Sean Duffy, because up in the congressional district, because yesterday he said he would not vote for the provision in the House budget that would defund public radio. So let's all give him a big hand for standing up for public radio.
Well, thank you for letting us know that. When I had him on the air for a candidate forum, he indicated that he liked Elmo. So, in any case, in terms of the news of the week, was there something else that you think we should talk about that we haven't talked about?
Well, I just think it's important to talk a little bit about collective bargaining, because people seem to throw that under the bus as it's nothing really that important. And I think that if we really look at the history of collective bargaining in our state and think about what the workers have given up to have collective bargaining, they'll understand the importance of it. I mean, people take for granted that we've got almost 40 years of labor peace in our state, and that's due to collective bargaining. They gave up the right to strike so that they would have the right to collectively bargain and talk to their employers about such things, not just as wages, but safety procedures, all the things that have to do with the rules about the workplace, working conditions. I mean, collective bargaining goes well beyond wages. And if we don't recognize the importance of collective bargaining, and obviously our 14 senators really understand this, then we look at another period of labor strife in our state. And I'll bet, Walter John, you remember the strikes in Wausau with the teachers, and we all might remember, the older of us remember Hortonville. These are not days we want to go back to. Yeah. We want to keep labor peace, and I think it's important that we recognize that and people think about it.
And Walter John Chilson, you're going to get last word. Are you concerned about labor strife returning to Wisconsin?
Well, I think we ought to continue to outlaw labor strikes. You mentioned Hortonville, and when I was in the Senate, I was given the responsibility of conducting a special committee to look into the question of how the strikes could be prevented, and we finally did come up with a compromise that is still the law today. I don't think it's been revised, and that did outlaw strikes, but probably increased, I've forgotten all the details, but probably increased the collective bargaining rights.
Yeah. We're going to have to leave it there because we are out of time for this edition of the Week in Review. Walter John Chilson and Christine Bremer Moogley, thank you both very much for being with us. Rob Ferret joins me now for just the next minute or so to encourage your last-minute pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's right. We'll need a flurry of pledges to meet our goal this hour. We need 25 now. You can keep pledging through the news. Pledge now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Pledge because you enjoy the variety of perspectives we bring you on shows like The Week in Review and all throughout the week on Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to Randy from Madison, who pledged and says, I am pledging because you are my station of choice, and I think you are the best. Thank you so much, Randy. You are the best for supporting this service. You can, too, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last day of the pledge drive, last minute of the Joy Cardine Show during this pledge drive. Make that pledge now. Help us end on a high note. Help us hit this goal this hour. Make a pledge right now, WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
Do it for the Week in Review and for all of the news and information that you receive on this network and all of the in-depth discussions on these issues that really touch your life. We are here because of you, but we wouldn't be here without you and your pledges of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
25 pledges in the next. We can do it during the news. You can keep pledging during the news. Help us hit this goal. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks if you've already pledged.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you if you've pledged. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.